Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, The Color of Law by Richard Rothstein, examines how racial segregation in the United States was not merely the accidental result of private prejudice or market forces, but a system shaped and enforced by government action. Rothstein, a researcher and policy analyst, assembles historical evidence showing how federal, state, and local institutions used laws, regulations, and public programs to separate Americans by race, especially in housing. The book challenges the familiar idea that segregation was largely de facto, arguing instead that it was de jure, created through explicit public policy and therefore tied to constitutional responsibilities and remedies. Written for general readers as well as civic leaders, it connects past decisions to present outcomes such as neighborhood inequality, disparities in wealth, and unequal access to schools and services. By tracing how segregation was built, maintained, and normalized, Rothstein invites readers to reconsider what the nation owes to communities harmed by these policies and what realistic corrective steps might look like today. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, segregation as public policy, not a natural pattern. A central theme of The Color of Law is that residential segregation did not simply emerge from individual choices or informal discrimination. Rothstein argues that government at multiple levels played a decisive role in creating and enforcing racial boundaries. He distinguishes between private acts of bias and state-backed actions that carried legal authority, shaping where people could live and what opportunities followed. The book highlights how policy choices turned racial separation into an organized system. Zoning rules, public housing decisions, infrastructure planning, and enforcement practices made segregation durable and difficult to escape. This framing matters because it changes the moral and legal stakes. If segregation is understood as a byproduct of culture or economics, remedies are framed as optional or charitable. If it is understood as government action, then the harms are linked to constitutional principles and public accountability. Rothstein's approach encourages readers to see patterns in neighborhoods not as timeless realities, but as outcomes of specific decisions that can be traced historically. It also clarifies why market-based solutions alone often fail. When the state helped build the inequality, policy must be part of any serious response. Secondly, federal housing policy and the architecture of exclusion. Rothstein places significant emphasis on the role of federal housing policy in entrenching segregation during the 20th century. Programs intended to expand homeownership and stabilize housing markets frequently operated in ways that excluded Black families or pushed them into segregated areas. The book discusses how underwriting standards, lending practices, and the design of subsidies often favored white buyers in neighborhoods, treating racial integration as a risk to be avoided. In parallel, federal support for suburban development helped create large new housing markets that were effectively closed to many Black households through policy-aligned decisions and discriminatory conditions embedded in financing. These policies did more than shape where people lived at a given moment. They contributed to long-term wealth gaps because home equity became a primary vehicle for intergenerational asset building. Rothstein's analysis links the geography of opportunity to government-sponsored advantages, access to better financed schools, safer environments, and stronger labor market networks often followed subsidized suburban growth. By tracing how rules and incentives channeled benefits to some groups while denying them to others, the book helps readers understand why present-day disparities persist even when overt discrimination is illegal. Thirdly, local and state actions that reinforced racial boundaries, beyond federal programs, The Color of Law explores how states and municipalities actively reinforce segregation through their own tools. Rothstein describes how local zoning and land use decisions were frequently used to separate communities by race, sometimes directly and sometimes through mechanisms that predictably produced racial exclusion. The book also examines the siting and management of public housing, showing how placement choices and occupancy policies could concentrate Black residents in specific neighborhoods and keep white neighborhoods homogeneous. Policing and enforcement practices, along with intimidation tolerated by local authorities, further stabilize these boundaries by making movement risky or costly. Another element is the way transportation routes, highways, and urban renewal projects reshaped cities, often removing Black neighborhoods or cutting them off from resources while facilitating suburban commuting and growth elsewhere. Rothstein's broader point is that segregation was maintained through everyday governance, routine decisions about permits, services, and planning. This local dimension is crucial because it demonstrates that segregation was not only a national story, but also a set of repeated choices made by thousands of jurisdictions. Understanding those choices equips readers to ask sharper questions about accountability and about what reforms must occur at the municipal and regional level. Fourthly, economic and social consequences that compound across generations. Rothstein connects historic segregation policies to modern inequalities by showing how housing location influences nearly every major life outcome. Segregated neighborhoods commonly meant unequal access to well-resourced schools, stable employment networks, healthcare, and safe public spaces. When government helped separate communities, it also helped determine who would benefit from appreciating property values and who would be locked out of that growth. The book emphasizes that wealth accumulation is not only about income, but also about assets, and residential policy shaped the ability to build assets through homeownership and neighborhood investment. These effects compound over time. Families who could buy subsidized homes in growing areas often passed down equity, while families excluded from those opportunities faced higher rents, fewer credit options, and greater vulnerability to displacement. Rothstein also highlights how segregation influences public perceptions and political choices, reinforcing stereotypes and making cross-neighborhood coalitions harder to build. The result is a feedback loop where segregated space sustains unequal institutions and unequal institutions sustain segregated space. By tying the past to measurable present consequences, the book provides readers with a causal narrative that goes beyond blaming individuals and instead focuses on structural conditions created through public action. Lastly, Implications for Remedies and Civic Responsibility. A key contribution of The Color of Law is its insistence that accurate diagnosis changes the range of acceptable remedies. If segregation was created by government, Rothstein argues, then government has a responsibility to pursue corrective policies rather than relying solely on private goodwill. The book encourages readers to think carefully about what remedy means in practice, not symbolic gestures, but efforts that address the durable advantages and disadvantages produced by earlier policy. It discusses the challenges of changing residential patterns once they are established, including political resistance, local control, and the inertia of housing markets. Rothstein's framing also invites debate about constitutional and ethical obligations, prompting readers to consider how civil rights law, housing policy, and regional planning might be aligned with integration goals. Importantly, the book does not treat integration as an abstract ideal. It links integrated communities to more equitable access to schools, employment, and public goods. Readers are pushed to grapple with trade-offs, feasibility, and the difference between race-neutral programs and measures explicitly designed to reverse racially targeted harms. The overall message is civic. Understanding history is not passive knowledge, but a prerequisite for responsible policymaking and informed citizenship. In conclusion, The Color of Law is best suited for readers who want a clear, evidence-based account of how American segregation was produced, including students, educators, journalists, policy professionals, and anyone trying to make sense of current debates about housing, schools, and inequality. It benefits a reader's life by replacing vague explanations with a concrete timeline of decisions, showing how public policy shaped everyday opportunities such as where families could buy homes, what schools children attended, and how wealth could be built. That clarity can improve civic participation, helping readers evaluate proposals on zoning, affordable housing, transit, and fair lending with a stronger grasp of historical cause and effect. Compared to similar books that focus mainly on personal prejudice or broad social trends, Rothstein's work stands out for its sustained emphasis on government responsibility and the practical mechanisms of segregation. It offers a framework that connects local planning decisions to national outcomes, making the subject relevant beyond history classrooms. Readers who purchase this book are buying not only a narrative of what happened, but also a rigorous argument for why the past remains actionable in the present, and why policy-level remedies deserve serious consideration. If you would like to support Richard Rothstein, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.